I want to tell you about the fact that last week there was what was called an Issues and Ideas Forum, and that was sponsored by the Mackinac Center. The topic was the EPA's war on energy. And that got my attention. I don't know about you. And joining us now to talk about that is Russ Harding, who's Director of Environmental Policy at the Mackinac Center. Thanks very much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Lee.
Hey, before we get to this, maybe this is a related topic. Maybe it's something that's, that has to do with all of this. But I just went through a rant in the first segment here on compact fluorescent light bulbs that got me thinking about, you know, California, they're a year ahead, quote unquote, of the rest of the country on this. And just what a bust a lot of people think that it is already. You've got research showing they're not as cost efficient. They're not lasting as long. They have environmental and health problems. And people are hoarding the old incandescent bulbs. What's your take on all of this? Does this fit into anything you guys talked about last week?
Well, it fits into the extent that what we're experiencing is extreme government meddling, particularly at the federal level, where they're trying to control every aspect of Americans' lives, down to you know, how much water you can have in your toilet, the shower head you have to use, what kind of appliances, the type of light bulb. And so the problem, one of the big problems with that, besides, you know, the loss of freedom, which is really what our country is all about, is that it's the law of unintended consequences. So when they pass these laws and they mandate the type of light bulb you have to use, they don't really often understand all the other ramifications. So what you end up with oftentimes with these government mandates is you cause two problems for one you might solve.
Yeah, they seem to be willing to jump on these things without proper testing or, as you said, considering the ramifications or even being skeptical about some of the claims that are made. They all want to go for it. And I remember I bought a house in 1997. Which, if you recall, you mentioned the toilets. That's when they started mandating these new low-water, low-flush toilets. And we had so many problems with the first number, and you can imagine what I'm talking about. We had to invest in plungers, and you had to, you know, flush. You had to flush twice, and this whole thing, and you're going, well, this makes no sense. We're using more water than we were saving it. So I think that's what, you know, you're talking about, and I think this CFL thing is going to be the same kind of boondoggle, really.
Yeah, and you know what's scary now is, you know, a lot of these things now, the light bulb thing is an irritation, but it isn't to the level of what's going on with EPA.
Right.
And we're calling this war on energy right now. This is very serious. Rulemakings are happening. It's going to profoundly affect every American's life.
So it was a provocative title, which I'm sure you wanted it to be, but as you just mentioned, it's something that you think is going on. So tell us what that title is based on. Why do you think there is a war?
Well, just in the waning days here of this calendar year, actually even between Christmas and New Year's, EPA did a whole rash of rulemaking. Some of those take effect immediately and some will be phased in. But the commonality of all these rulemakings is to make coal very expensive to use to generate electricity. Now, we about two-thirds of our electricity in Michigan comes from coal. Nationwide, about half. We're really North America, United States. We're the Saudi Arabia of coal. I mean, we have abundant, huge supplies, more than anywhere in the world, and it's powered much of our electrical generation. And so EPA is really going to, with these rulemakings, regulation of CO2, making fly ash, which you get when you burn coal, a hazardous waste, and several other rulemakings. They're going to make coal so expensive, they're trying to require utilities to switch to alternative energy or natural gas. And the reason that's critical, I think, is for two things. One is it's going to drive up the cost. It's going to make American businesses less competitive. We'll see more outsourcing of jobs to China and other places. China's building one coal-fired power plant a week. And secondly, it's going to take so many coal-fired power plants offline that it will actually, there's a number of experts that are concerned that it could compromise the reliability of the electric grid. And many of these new coal plants would replace older ones if they were allowed to be built using much newer, cleaner technology, so they would have far less emissions than many of the existing coal plants do now.
So really what you're saying is that the government is pushing newer alternative, again going back to what we were talking about before, in some cases unproven energy sources over things like fossil fuels, which, as you just mentioned, we now have the new technology that can allow us to build clean coal facilities out there. And that's, we can point that to Michigan. Wasn't there a proposal to build a new coal-fired plant here, and it's been kind of stymied because of this?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, Governor Granholm put a moratorium on coal-fired power plants. Governor Snyder, to my knowledge, hasn't rescinded that yet. I certainly hope he'll do that quickly. So you're not really seeing any new power plants, coal-fired power plants, built in Michigan. Now, what's so interesting with this EPA war on coal is that it really is implementing the cap-and-trade proposals by using EPA. As probably most of your listeners know, the cap-and-trade pretty much died in Congress once the American people found out what the costs were. There was an awful lot of economic pain for very little environmental gain. Congress, including many Democrats, just said, we're not going to pass this. And so then President Obama, and to his credit, I'll say he was upfront about it. He said, well, I'm going to implement it anyway, and I'm going to do it through EPA. So it's a little different, but it has the same purpose. So that's really what has happened is Congress hasn't acted. And, there's another aspect of this, even besides the energy. It's our form of government. These decisions, I believe, ought to be made by elected representatives, people that have to stand for election with the voters, not by some nameless bureaucrat in a cubicle writing these regulations that has no accountability.
So is it an ideological motivation here if we're talking about the economic cost of this? And you didn't mention it, but when you said, it could be a potential problem with our electrical grid, that's a national security problem. What are they thinking in terms of pushing these other forms of energy?
Well, I think there's two theories on it, I guess, or maybe most. One is that it's political. Environmental groups are a very main constituency of the Democratic Party, and this is a very big item for environmental groups. So I fight, suppose, man caused global warming, and so this is something that I think President Obama probably feels politically beholden on the issue. The other may be ideologic, just feeling that somehow we're going to have to get off fossil fuels and, the new future is in different technology. And, that's all fine and dandy. We need to invest in new technology, but we need to do that in a smart way. And coal and fossil fuels are going to play an important part, or need to play an important part in generating electricity if we're going to have affordable energy. And, everything in our modern society pretty much operates with an underpinning of energy. And if you make that expensive, you can't help but, cause the unemployment rate to go up, not down.
Yeah, it seems a curious timing since we are, if you believe some of the reports coming out of the recession, if you believe others, especially here in Michigan, we're still having some problems, that this would, in fact, have an extreme economic price in terms of making energy more expensive, but then also, as you mentioned, taking jobs out of the whole equation here. So what theoretically, if this is allowed to happen, and it is going on through the EPA, what kind of impact are we talking about on the economy?
Well, there's been a lot of studies done, and there's all sorts of numbers out there, but it would be a significant increase to household budgets in terms of energy use. Electric rates will go much higher, and that particularly will be noticed in, it'll vary depending where you are in the country, but it'll particularly noticed in Michigan because, again, two-thirds of our electricity comes from coal. Now, and if you're in the Northwest, like Oregon or Washington, it'll be less of an impact there because they have a lot of hydroelectric and whatever. But so, yeah, it'll be a substantial increase. It won't happen overnight, but it'll keep, every year people say, geez, my utility bill's getting bigger and bigger. And it will, but what people won't see, which is sort of the invisible job killer, is companies then, when they're deciding where they're going to locate manufacturing facilities, energy costs are one of the major drivers that they look at. And if those energy costs are much higher, then that's going to really give them a great incentive to locate in other countries where the costs are lower. And, the average person might not see that, but what ends up happening is you just don't have the jobs.
Right. Well, all of these decisions have those types of ramifications. Again, to go back to the thing that I'm ranting on today about those compact light bulbs, you know, GE closed the last remaining maker of incandescent bulbs, and now the CFLs are made in China, and that plant, I believe it was in Connecticut or one of the places along the East Coast there, those jobs are just gone. And it just doesn't...
Well, yeah, that's the problem, Lee, with this forced alternative energy, too. That's happening with solar. And it's happening with wind. Much of the solar production, there's solar plants being shut down around the country, and they're building them in China because we can't afford to build them here. And so, you know, we're not gaining by this so-called green technology when we make our cost of doing business so high we're not competitive.
And then now you've got the EPA on this front, and then you have these other fronts that they're also dealing with in terms of energy, which I was reading the other day about how taxpayer dollars are using to help Brazil and I think, again, China investing in their power grid and also in offshore drilling, which domestically, of course, we're not doing that at all. And, in fact, we're discouraging it and had stopped it for a while of even using it.
Yeah, and I think that really ties into this same war on energy where we're just not developing our natural resources, our energy resources. And, again, the idea, I think, is for those folks that are either politically or ideologically motivated is that if we don't develop those, if we don't have more oil, then that will force alternative energy because it'll be scarcer. And, of course, when things are scarcer, the price goes up. You know, it's amazing, though, because I know President Obama did come out a week or so ago with an executive order on regulatory reform, but he didn't mention anything about these job-killing EPA regulations. And that, if they're serious about regulatory reform, that's what they need to do is stop that right now, cease and desist on any of these rulemakings, let our economy recover, let's start getting that unemployment down, let's get jobs, let's start being competitive again. And so that's really what we need to be looking for. You know, I think what we need to look for, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, we got to start cutting through this rhetoric and start looking for real action that actually does something. You know, it's pretty easy to say, you know, I'm pro-business or pro-jobs, but what you got to look at is what are the real policies being implemented at the state and federal level. Government doesn't create jobs, but they can sure get in the way of jobs being created.
Right.
And so that's what we need to be looking for, some real action and not just, you know, more rhetoric.
So at this forum that you had last week then, you talked about many of these things, I'm sure, presented the problem. What did what was proposed in terms of what you were just talking about in terms of moving forward? Do you go to Congress? Do you lobby Congress? What happens?
Well, Fred Upton Congressman Upton has a important position in the committee he chairs in the House, and I think he will be doing hearings trying to hold EPA accountable. There's an interest on the part of the Michigan legislature in both the Senate and the House to introduce resolutions. Now, they're non-binding, but resolutions asking that this be stopped. There is a potential that Michigan legislators may introduce legislation do not have Michigan part of this. Of course, that would start a battle with EPA, with the feds. Yeah, Texas has already done that. Some other states are contemplating. It's not too undifferent than the health care debate where some states are saying, you know, we don't want to participate in this federal health Obamacare. So you can expect, I think, quite a bit of action. It's too early to tell what's going to happen. I do think people, it's very important, though, that people contact their elected officials and let them know what they think about this because, frankly, probably the biggest concern President Obama will have is going to getting elected in 2 years. That's just what they're going to be worried about. And if this becomes a bigger and bigger political negative, then hopefully they'll stop and back off on it. But we just certainly at this point haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, one of the tough parts about it is when something becomes a rule or a law or whatever, it's a lot harder to get rid of it once it's in there than, you know, once it's finally passed. So it's not an easy process. If our audience would like to know, some of them would like to know more about this and take a look at some of the things you're talking about, does the Mackinac Center have more on this, or is there another website perhaps that you would recommend that they go to?
Well, I would recommend they go to www.mackinac.org, get on our website, and in fact, the video of the session that we held with Peter Glazer and Lansing here last week is there, and they can view that entire video. We did simulcast it, but it's on our web. And we've also got a number of articles written they can pull up off our web. So I think that's a good place for them to start and get some more information on this.
Yeah, I think it's an important topic for people to get up on top of because, as I said before, you know, timing is everything. This is the economy being so perilous, and to have some of these things happen, if they are purely motivated by ideological or special interests versus what's good for the country, then it needs to be stopped. But anyway, we appreciate your time today. Hope you keep us informed on what's going on with this particular issue. Russ Harding from the Mackinac Center. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Lee.
All right, take care.